Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And he found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were there much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, only a few days before the events here recorded, Jesus had been betrayed by Judas. He had undergone the arrest and the series of trials before the Jews and the Romans. He was found innocent, but nonetheless crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb. A watch of guards was set over it to prevent the disciples from stealing his body. And on the first day of the week, women came to anoint the body as was the custom of Jewish burial. But what they saw was that the stone was rolled away. The body was gone. And they saw two men in white apparel. What they heard was, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And Matthew records, They said, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. In other words, they said that Christ had foretold of his resurrection and that he would live again. So why do you look for him here? The tomb is a place of the dead, but he is not dead. In this lesson, we want to consider the question, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Friend, have you ever thought seriously about what if Christ had remained in the tomb? It would have proven him to be an impostor, would it not? It would have shown him to have been a fraud. He claimed to be the Son of God and the Messiah. He accepted that designation often. It was prophesied that the Messiah would rise from the dead. Psalm 49 said, But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. If he was the Christ, he would have to fulfill this prophecy. The resurrection is the most powerful evidence in proving Jesus to be the Son of God. Romans 1 and verse 4 said, Who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness? How? By the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We would never have power over death. Satan would be recognized as stronger than God. In 1 Corinthians 15:12, Paul said, Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But friend, because Christ was raised, we have proof of God's power and God's ability to raise the dead and his power over death for mankind. Paul concluded in that 15th chapter, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But God be thanked, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are victorious, but if there is no resurrection, then death would be the victor and we'd be the victim. We can have victory over death only because of the resurrection of Christ. Psalm 16, For thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. If Christ had not been raised, we would have to look somewhere else for our salvation. Christ could not fulfill his promises if his bones are still in Palestine. Our hope is in Christ. But how could we have hope in a dead Savior? Again, Paul said, For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Yes, our salvation is based upon the resurrection of Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. There is not another Savior to whom we can turn. And if Christ were among the dead, the teaching of the apostles are all meaningless, because they preached the resurrection of Christ. He preached Jesus and the resurrection, we learn in Acts 17, the preaching of Paul. And in Acts 4, they proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Christ hadn't come forth from the tomb, the church would be nothing. Salvation, a false hoax. The commands to be obeyed to be saved would be meaningless. The laws governing Christian living, absolutely useless. All Christianity amounts to naught, and the Bible is a false book rather than the Word of God, if Christ were among the dead rather than the living. But when one considers what has taken place, and the things that Jesus himself said of himself, it is unreasonable to expect him to be among the dead. He had shown himself to be the Son of God by his miracles. Even Nicodemus recognized he was a man sent from God by his miracles. And he said that he would rise again. If he would do so, as he said that he would, you would expect the tomb to be empty, and it was. So why should we seek the living among the dead? Christ is risen. He was raised up. There is no sacred shrine denoting the place of his burial, for he is not there. For this reason, we, even now, continue to preach Christ as the resurrected Messiah. But let us consider, in another sense, the question, why seek the living among the dead? There are two classes of people mentioned in the Scriptures, the living and the dead. This often refers to physical life and physical death, as we have noted. Sometimes the terms, however, are used in a figurative sense, denoting those who are spiritually alive and those who are spiritually dead. Those who are the living, why, they are the children of God, while the dead are the children of the devil. When Paul was describing the condition of Christians before they became Christians, he said, "And you hath he quickened, that is, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Ephesians 2:1. Again he wrote, "But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth." She may well be physically alive, but spiritually dead, because she was in sin. In Matthew 8, in verse 22, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Now, this was the occasion that a man had asked to follow Jesus, but he asked first to let Jesus allow him to bury his father. But Jesus taught that the Lord must be first with his disciples. He was not teaching disrespect for his father. He was teaching that he, Christ, must be first. Those who are spiritually dead are those who are so concerned about the earthly and personal matters of this life that they do not have proper concern for the things of God. No, Jesus was not teaching disrespect for parents. He was not saying burying the physical dead is wrong. He is simply showing where one's emphasis must be in life. And the point here is that there are those who are spiritually alive, and there are those who are spiritually dead, as well as those who are physically alive and physically dead. John wrote, "We know that we have passed out of death into life." We have passed out of spiritual death, John says, into spiritual life. "And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death," Jesus said. Keeping his word means spiritual life. Peter spoke of those who, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now, Christians are the living. Those in sin are the dead. friend, we do not expect the living to be counted among the dead. We do not expect to find the Christian living in the sinful ways that they have left. The first psalm says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Paul urged Christian brethren concerning those who were spiritually dead, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." You see, the Christian is to be a good example. Paul said, "Be ye an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity." We're to have a good influence, and that to the glory of God. "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven," Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and verse 16. The Christian is expected to forsake sinful worldliness. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And Paul urged the Roman brethren, "Be not fashioned according to this present world, but be ye transformed." We wonder why so many of us often ignore this divine command. The Bible teaches that it's unreasonable to expect to find the Christian doing those things like those who are dead in sin. Do we live so that others could even suspect we are Christians? As someone has asked, "If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" There is no consistency, friend, in a Christian engaging in the modern lascivious dance, in drinking alcoholic beverages, lying, cheating, committing adultery, gambling, wearing immodest clothing, reading filthy literature, engaging in hurtful and harmful habits, and such things as that. These are characteristic of the dead. They're out of place and off limits to the living. We should no more expect to find Christians doing such things as to expect to find Jesus in the tomb. In Romans 6, Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead or separated to sin, live any longer therein?" Now, when the Lord returns, he will expect to find his people walking in paths of righteousness. Those who shall live with him forever, they'll not come out from among the spiritually dead. And so Paul has written, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth." Colossians 3, 1 and 2. So just as it was unreasonable to expect the resurrected Christ to be found in the tomb among the dead, so it is unreasonable to think that the Christian, who has left spiritual death and is in spiritual life, to be found partaking of those things that are characteristic of the spiritually dead. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.